Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. We finally made it there this week. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today, as usual, to close out the week. We start with the good, and we start with Jim's top item in the morning jolt. It looks like Marco Rubio is all systems go for a run for the Republican presidential nomination in 2016. Rubio, of course, is about two-thirds of his way through his first U.S. Senate term from Florida. He'll only be 45 years old if he's elected president of the United States, so the second youngest elected ever. And Jim, he obviously brings a lot of things to the table. He's a very strong conservative on a vast majority of issues. He's articulate. He's a very good debater on a number of issues. He obviously brings in potentially an appeal to a growing demographic in this country with the Latinos. The drawbacks, of course, is that he was very much up front and center making the argument for the Gang of Eight immigration, many on the right would say, amnesty bill that passed the Senate. And he still hasn't completely walked away from that, although he has to some extent. And as you point out in the jolt today, he has some ties, at least through his fundraiser, with American Crossroads and Karl Rove. So that might not be the greatest winning message with the grassroots either. But Marco Rubio would bring a lot to the table.
Cue a lot of commenters saying, Rove! very much in the tone of Jerry Seinfeld saying, Newman! Because he is now kind of the new villain of the week for a lot of folks in the grassroots. Look, there's a lot to like about Marco Rubio, particularly you watch him on stuff like the Cuba embargo. This is a guy who I think his instincts are clearly conservative. I think he's, you know, most Republicans are going to end up on the same side as him 9 times out of 10. I think he's maybe the best communicator in the party. And if he's not, he's in the top 3 or 4. And he is a, the fresh face for everybody who's kind of tired of the reruns, the Huckabee, Santorum, Romney types. This is, what I want to see spotlighted by the party. This is a guy who I think could connect with a whole bunch of people who are kind of tuning out of Republicans. I guess maybe the last thing I'd also just kind of say is that somebody had observed that in 2010, a lot of Republicans got elected, but mostly they were running on, if not local issues, it was not grand themes. When Marco Rubio says, hey, you know, people will risk their lives to get out of Cuba to come here. Nobody in Florida is risking their lives to get to Cuba. And he talks about what makes America unique, American exceptionalism, what makes us special. And that can extend into economics, that can extend into foreign policy, that can extend into social policy. But I think that's just a very deep resonant theme. And I think it's a fantastic theme for a presidential campaign. And I think it's something that a lot of folks on the right feel like we have lost in the past 6 years and we really want to get back. You alluded to, you know, look, Gang of Ocho, that's going to, you know, that's going to hurt them indisputably. Did not handle that particularly well. And let's just, you know, come out and say it, Greg. If you and I are having a party, do we send Marco Rubio to get the beer? Because if so, hope he brings his ID. Just a very young-looking guy. And you just kind of wonder, you know, how many of the country are going to be, you know, he's not a terribly tall guy. Just, you know, not the most physically imposing presence. As silly as it might seem, this is something that, you know, genuinely, you know, people take into account in these sorts of things. So we'll have to see whether he can command a stage. Like I said, he's a fantastic communicator, and I would not count him out. And so, you know, good luck to you, Senator Rubio. We'll see how it shakes out. I think the field will be better having him in there, though.
Yeah, just a few quick observations. Number one, he'd be running against Hillary Clinton. And usually the old person versus the young person generally tends to work out better for the young person. It worked for Clinton against the older George Bush. It worked for Obama against John McCain. You can say there's obvious differences in the races, but I don't know that youth is necessarily a bad thing. He did say if he runs for president, he's not going to try to do the presidential race and the Senate race at the same time. So if he gets in the presidential race, he's not going to be running for reelection. And that means an open Senate seat in Florida presidential year, which could be tough to hold that seat in a year where Republicans are already playing defense in a lot of places because they did so well in 2010. Other good thing for Rubio, in most debates, I'm pretty sure the water glasses are right there on the podium.
There you go. Yes, exactly. Well, he actually observed something. Like, so he goes through that. And, you know, MSNBC plays it, I believe, like several hundred times within the next, you know, 24 hours.
Right.
But, you know, he's still doing water bottle jokes, you know, as a part of it, kind of like he able to laugh at himself. And, you know, he remember him toasting with the water bottles with Netanyahu and stuff like that. I mean, he demonstrated a nice ability to laugh at himself when he looked a little silly. That's a good sign. There are other politicians who would not have handled that quite so deftly.
All right, on to the bad martini now, and this is a story that really played out through much of this week, but kind of got overshadowed by other martinis, most of them domestic in recent days, and that is what appears to be the collapse of the most recent government in Yemen. It's always been kind of a complicated situation there, the government seemingly helping us to some extent fighting terrorism. On other days, it doesn't seem so much. It's obviously the residents of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, so a lot of terrorism emanating from there. These Houthi rebels seem to be very closely aligned with the radicals in Iran. So if they do take over, that's going to be one more outpost in the Middle East that is not going in our direction. So, Jim, at a time when we need nothing else to go wrong in the Middle East, something very wrong happened in the Middle East, it seems.
Yeah. And by the way, this is actually something that had kind of been a ticking time bomb for a while. There were actually mortars fired at the U.S. embassy. I want to say like sometime in November, December. I remember hearing from somebody who had had, you know, new diplomatic personnel over there, was kind of afraid of a Benghazi-type situation occurring. That has not happened yet. My understanding is that all, not, you know, the non-essential personnel has been taken out, but we still have people in the embassy there, and that's not a good sign. And back when Obama gave his big speech in the fall about how we're going to take on ISIS, he cited Yemen as a success story, and there was a lot of very loud scoffing over that. Well, here we are, and you know, it looks even more scoff-worthy because, no, Yemen is not a U.S. foreign policy success story. This is, you know, granted, it's a really tough spot with not much of a central government, lots of factionalism, lots of tribal rivalries and things like that. But ultimately, I don't think we have an upper hand there. If there's a lesson of this State of the Union week, Greg, it's that things for the U.S. interest, things are going to get worse from now until January 2017. I think that's pretty much baked in the cake. I don't think anything, you know, and we have an administration that's going to insist to us that it's not getting worse until January 2017. Which makes this next presidential election really important, because I don't think we can afford too much longer to be walking around with blinders on. And Yemen is a terrific example of that, in which, you know, you say, it's far away. Who's heard of Yemen? Well, you know, like the Hebdo bombers are coming out of there. That's apparently like this is the new Afghanistan. This is the new central base for Al-Qaeda. And the government there is collapsing. And we're just like, nah, whatever. This is a, you know, a truly depressing note to end the week. Although, you know, maybe the crazy martini will count as that as well.
Yeah, well, let's stay in the Middle East a little bit, because after the president basically painted the war on terrorism as all but won in his State of the Union speech on Tuesday, reality kicked back in on Wednesday when House Speaker John Boehner invited Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to come address a joint session of Congress on the threat posed by Iran, terrorist, nuclear, and otherwise. Apparently, he did not tip off the White House to this invitation. So now the White House, Jim, is saying that this is an affront to the dignity and legitimacy of the administration. And how dare Republicans do this, because Obama's never broken protocol or hung the Congress out to dry.
This comes the week, you know, a day after one of the undersecretaries of state insists that Congress does not need to approve a treaty with Iran because it's not really a treaty. Now, of course, the U.S., you know, if you look at that Constitution, Obama apparently never bothers to check over at the National Archives, but it's really written down out there. And it says that, you know, the Senate has to approve treaties by 2/3 to make this sort of thing happen. And they just say, well, if we don't call it a treaty, then we can do this. And they also tried, you know, tried this stunt with some of the global warming deals and things like that. You know, the president will just ignore this kind of stuff. What really got me was this idea that, well, inviting Bibi to town, and I guess the objection is it's close to an election, but I'm pretty sure you can go back and find. I mean, Bill Clinton had sent his political advisor, James Carville and company,
yes,
to help him back in the mid-90s to try to beat Bibi Netanyahu. I mean, you know, we've had administrations get involved in other countries' political races a real long time. What's very clear is this administration, you know, detests Bibi Netanyahu. And that's why the last thing they do is roll out the red carpet for him right before an election. But the idea that this is somehow an insult to the dignity of the administration. Greg, yesterday the president of the United States was interviewed by a woman who's famous on YouTube for getting into a bathtub full of milk and Fruit Loops. Thankfully, the interview was not conducted in the bathtub. My understanding is that no Fruit Loops were damaged or were harmed or consumed during the interview. She did say, or one of the president did an interview with like YouTube stars, and unfortunately they didn't get that dramatically glaring hamster that, you know, we've all kind of seen and stuff like that, or the dancing baby or anything like that. I yearn for the serious, hard-hitting questions of Zach Galifianakis, you know, that the comedian there on Between Two Ferns.
Right, I was just thinking that.
You know, like the idea that, you know, like there's no dignity left to this presidency, like period. That's the first thing. The second, you know, or as you had reminded me right before we came on air, the Gimp with the Limp was the radio show host that down in Miami that Obama had done an interview with. He's done an interview with Ryan Seacrest. I mean, like just stop. Like if you want to say, look, you know, you should check with us before you invited BB. We're trying to stay out of the Israeli elections. Yeah, whatever. You know, but like the idea that this is somehow this terrible affront to the dignity of this administration is probably the least plausible argument I've heard all week long in a week full of really implausible arguments.
Yeah, dignity left town a long time ago. Jim, on that really depressing note, have a wonderful weekend and we'll talk to you again on Monday.
See you Monday, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And please join us again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch. Have a wonderful weekend, everyone.